You are Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football 24/7 Podcast. Fantasy football all day, every day.
What is up? Welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7 Podcast. It is Tuesday, October 23rd. Willie and Ethan here from Fantasy Football 24/7. You can find me on Twitter at WillieFF247. Hit up Ethan at eTurnerFF_PT. And you can hit us up on the main page at FFB_247. On today's show, we will recap last night's Monday night game. Ethan's going to go ahead and give us one of his injury updates, and we will dive into some Week 8 waiver targets. Ethan, what's up, bro?
Not much, man. Just living the dream, you know. Talking about fantasy football and going to school all the time. So I'm a little tired, but we're going to hit it hard today.
Damn right, man. Well, before we do, do not forget to get entered to win that signed Earl Campbell Hall of Fame Edition jersey this year. All you have to do to enter to win is rate and review us on iTunes. Be sure to leave your Twitter handle or your email just in case you win, we can get a hold of you. All right, man, let's do it. Let's talk about last night's game, Monday Nighter, Falcons. The scoreboard looks a little closer than it probably should. The Falcons get it done 23-20. Eli Manning blows any chance of a comeback at the end with some poor decision making. Talk to me, though, from the Falcons standpoint. Just give me a quick recap of how the fantasy implications panned out.
Yeah, so I think the Falcons definitely got the benefit of the doubt from the Giants just being a really just a bad team overall. Eli Manning is not going to win you very many games at this point in his career, and Pat Shurmur did not do him any favors with play calling tonight. They blew a couple red zone opportunities, you know, with just taking field goals when they should have gotten touchdowns, and just really there at the end, just poor clock management, two stuffed Eli runs that basically cut the chance for an onside kick to about 3 seconds. So there was just no way that they were going to win that game. The Falcons, they played pretty well, honestly. You know, Matt Ryan, he continues to have a solid year. At one point in this game, he completed 17 straight passes, which tells you how locked in he was. Ended up with a pretty nice stat line here, 31 for 39, 379 yards and one touchdown. Not a huge fantasy day with just the one touchdown, but I don't think you can be disappointed with how Ryan has played this season. For the running backs, Tevin Coleman, 11 rushes, 50 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. Two catches for 32 yards in the air. Pretty solid day for him. Obviously, the touchdown kind of salvaged his day. Ito Smith, who got a lot of hype heading into this week, I think he really underperformed with the opportunities that he was given. 7 rushes, 16 yards, 2 catches for 29 yards. Just really not what we were hoping for from a guy that was a lot of people were expecting to be pretty dynamic here. I think Tevin Coleman still kind of has that role and is the guy to own, even though the splits are almost dead even at this point. As for wide receivers, you know, Julio Jones, man, he's going to Julio. 9 catches, 104 yards, 0 touchdowns. At this point, I don't really have a lot to say on Julio and PPR. He's just as inconsistent as they come in fantasy from just a yardage and catch perspective, but he's just not scoring touchdowns, man. I mean, he just doesn't score touchdowns. It's frustrating to be an owner and you see, you know, man, if we could turn that 104 yards to 104 yards and a touchdown, we'd be looking at week winning weeks instead of just really high floor weeks. So I think that he's getting to be a little bit frustrating for a lot of fantasy owners, but I don't think you can complain. Honestly, I think that it's kind of overblown. I think that he's still one of the best wide receiver ones that you can have on your team because he is so consistent. As for the other wide receivers, not really much to talk about here. Marvin Hall, who most people probably don't even know who that is. 3 catches, had a long touchdown, but no one really played him, so it doesn't really matter. Calvin Ridley, 5 catches, 43 yards, had some big third down catches. He really played well in this game, but not from a fantasy perspective, not really anything to write home there. From tight end, Austin Hooper, had a pretty pedestrian day for him, at least him recently. 3 catches for 48 yards. He still played really well this season. I think he should remain a tight end one weekly upside play with the position the way that it is in terms of injuries. I think Hooper's been kind of a pleasant surprise for that offense. But overall, just a good win. And really, I think that the Giants squandered another opportunity to go in here. They just have so much talent. There's no reason they shouldn't be scoring in the red zone when they get down there. But what do you think? How did they do from a fantasy perspective? I'm sure that they had a few guys here you want to talk about.
Absolutely, man. Honestly, they did what the matchup on paper said it would do. And we discussed this in length, me and Debra last night and some last week. And the matchup was great for basically everyone on the offense, and a lot of these guys took advantage of that. Eli, 1 yard short of 400 yards, had that touchdown at the end of the game to kind of bolster his stats, 20 fantasy points, good for number 7 quarterback on the week. You mentioned Saquon, 94 total yards and 23 touches, had 9 receptions on 10 targets, which was, I mean, that was huge for a full point of PPR leagues, 26 fantasy points, number 5 running back on the week. That's kind of what we expected there. And then you saw OBJ. We talked about the Falcons getting just smashed by opposing number 1 wide receivers, and OBJ did exactly that, man. 8 receptions for 143 yards and a touchdown, 28 fantasy points, number 1 wide receiver in week 7. That touchdown at the end put him over the top, man. And it didn't even stop there was the bad part. On top of that, the Falcons give up 167 yards to Sterling Shepard. He finishes in the top 10 for fantasy wide receivers on the week. And that last bomb, dude, to Sterling Shepard, that won some people a lot of matchups, and we have seen a lot of people lost because that last bomb to Sterling Shepard. So, I mean, the stats look good, better than the team really did play when you're talking about how the game flowed, the offense. It's ugly, man. This Giants team has so much talent, and they just – Eli Manning's washed. I'm not the biggest fan of some of the play calling I've seen from Pat Shurmur. I don't know, man. I think it's getting close to the time where they really got to start considering looking at other options just to see what they have on their roster. Last guy to mention, Evan Engram, who we talked about returning, 2 receptions for 16 yards. I'll have to check the snap count stats tomorrow. I'm not sure exactly how much he played. I didn't get to catch all this game, but obviously that's not going to do anything for you from a tight end position that's already hurting. So all in all, man, the game was really not that great. It looked like a close game when you look at the scoreboard, but I mean, I think it was 0-0 for
over 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the finish looks good, but
quick question. Hey, do you think that this Giants team, if they got, say, like a Justin Herbert, just a rookie quarterback, you know, that's obviously, I think that's the place that they need to be start to look. You know, I think they're 1-6. The team is not good. They're not going to win this year. They're not even really in playoff contention. Do you think that offense is a quarterback away, or do you think that there are more needs than that for them to really take that next step?
I do think that it's a combination of some of the play calling, but a lot on Eli Manning. I do think he's done, man. I think he's fried. You just see constant miscommunication with wide receivers, constant missed throws, constant bad decisions, in my opinion, from Eli Manning. I don't think they're a rookie quarterback away, that's for sure. I don't see that quarterback in this class right now, but I mean, obviously this shows you exactly how much more a quarterback means to a franchise than a running back. I mean, Saquon continues to be the only consistent part of this Giants offense, yet the team's 1-6. So, I mean, they got to do something, man, because it's just too much talent. I mean, just list some names and throw them on that offense. For me, I obviously being a Chargers fan, throw Phillip Rivers on that offense and see how many wins they have. You know what I'm saying? Because the defense played pretty good tonight. I mean, they held Atlanta scoreless for over 20 minutes. The problem was the Giants just could not convert in the red zone and put up points to match Atlanta.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're more than a quarterback away. I think that at this point, everyone is going to – I don't think that you can – you're wrong. They were wrong necessarily in taking what is legitimately a stud running back in the league as a rookie, but I do think that from a team perspective, they're losing games because they made that decision. And I think that we're going to find out next year really how good this team is once they get some, whoever it be, whether it be a rookie or they sign a quarterback, whoever it is, if they get somebody in there, or even that guy maybe on the team later this season. But at some point, you have to move on from Eli, and it's just a shame to watch all these offensive players blow up and the team continues to lose.
Yeah, it's rough, man. All right, before we move on, I want to talk to you guys about MyBookie. And, you know, ever since we started this podcast, Ethan, we always give advice. People want to know who we're betting on this week. We always tell them the same thing. We are not sure, but if you do think that you know who's going to win, go check out MyBookie. We're only going to, we continue to say this. We only recommend these guys to our listeners because they have been good to us. That's why we're urging you guys to head over to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. Some free fantasy guys out there. Yes, you, we're talking to you. You can bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, dude, let's move on to some injuries. And there was quite the list once again another week. So let's start with the big news here, the running backs, man. Melvin Gordon ended up missing the London game. What's going on there? What's your update on him?
Yeah, so Gordon actually was kind of a late week scratch. So that's just another shameless plug why you should be following me on Twitter so that you can. I was up at 6:30 updating everybody on that, on his status and with him missing that game. But late scratch, hamstring strain. In hindsight, I think this was a really smart move by your Chargers. We have seen with Leonard Fournette and Dalvin Cook just how much of a pain treating and rehabbing these hamstring strains can be. I mean, it can be a season ruiner for these running backs when you just can't get that thing healed up. So the team also won, which is the big thing here. They sat their best player or one of their best players, and now they're giving him a full 2 weeks to recover with them being on bye this week. So I think it's unlikely that he misses any more time, but obviously we're going to keep everyone updated as we go. We'll have more on him next week, but right now, it looks like a genius move by the Chargers to get him healthy and kind of a, and still pull out a win there.
Yes, and if you're a Gordon owner and somehow Austin Eckler is available, pick him up just to be safe. Right on to Marshawn Lynch, man, groin injury. What's up here? I mean, what's the forecast in terms of him long term? Do you predict seeing him? Is there a chance for him to be back later on, or is this it?
This one's tough. You know, he's placed on the IR on Monday, has that groin injury, which kind of creeped up during the bye week. So not a lot of people were talking about it. It's likely going to end up with surgery at this point. Anytime you get placed on the IR, you're kind of looking at, okay, what is going on? If it's just a strain, they wouldn't just sit and wait on it. They're going to do something about it. So probably looking at surgery, probably sports hernia surgery of some sort. Honestly, this could be the end for Marshawn Lynch. The team is making pretty clear moves. We haven't really talked about it much, but trading Amari Cooper on Monday, which is huge news, which we probably should talk about a little bit more at the end of the show, but trading him, I think it's pretty clear that they're in full rebuild mode right now. They have three firsts next year, so I think they're coming off a bye, so we don't really know how this backfield is going to shake out, but my money is on Jalen Richard being the guy. He's had, you know, I think he's first or second on the team in targets, and I think you're going to see some Doug Martin sprinkle in there, but Richard is the guy I want to own in PPR leagues.
Yeah, Doug Martin is one of those boats that you should have just let sail away a long time ago. I'm with you 100% on Jalen Richard being the guy I'd rather own. All right, on to LeSean McCoy, left with a concussion. Any concern here for him to miss some more time?
Yeah, so he left with a concussion, did not return after just one carry, which was obviously a fantasy killer. Just when we think that it's safe to play LeSean McCoy in a pretty good matchup, he goes down. So Chris Ivory came in, actually performed really well in McCoy's absence, but he also went down with a leg injury, so they're really hurting there. That team was not very good already, but now they don't have a running back either. Not much to say. If LeSean, he should clear concussion protocol, but I think if Ivory checks out, that they might have to consider playing Ivory. I mean, he had over 100 yards in this game total, and it could be a nice little spot start if LeSean isn't able to clear that concussion protocol. I expect him to, though. Usually they don't keep these guys out for more than a week if with this concussion.
All right, man, on to my boy Sony Michel. Left with that knee injury, and, man, it looked like it was a season-ending injury, but, I mean, everything I've seen points to positive news on that front. What's your take on that here?
Yeah, so it was pretty scary. He was tackled from in the backfield. He has his left knee kind of caught up under the defender, twisted in a way that legs aren't supposed to be twisted. And I think he was in pretty immediate pain. You know, he fumbles the ball right before he even hits the ground. It's clear that the knee was in a lot of pain afterwards. MRI on Monday showed no structural damage, which is a good sign, but also kind of surprising to me. I thought that might see at least, I think it's probably an MCL sprain. That was kind of the news before the MRI said no structural damage. That just means nothing is torn, ACL, PCL, things like that. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's no damage at all. I think that we've already kind of seen them take a really safe approach with Sony Michel in terms of recovery time when he had the knee injury in the preseason. So I think we're probably looking at least 1 week, probably 2 to 3 weeks of him missing. The team is on a bye in week 11. So depending on how cautious they are, we could be looking at 4 weeks. They could wait until the bye and then bring him back after that. James White should continue to operate as the primary back heading forward. I mean, he's looking like a first half of the season MVP candidate in PPR leagues. That's how well he's playing. So expect another James White week kind of operating as a pass catching running back, and don't expect them to do a bunch on the ground.
All right, man, let's move on to Bilal Powell. What's going on here? Something wrong with his neck?
Yeah, so he left Sunday's game with a neck injury. Not a lot of information on this, but I've been on the record saying that neck and back injuries are always a huge concern of mine. They don't heal well. There's not really a whole lot you can do for them, and they can really affect how players operate in the game. So I think it's unlikely that he plays this week. So Isaiah Crowell, man, should get some serious volume, but I would not count out Trenton Kenyon either. Kenyon had 4 receptions for 69 yards in Powell's absence last week. The only problem is that they're playing Chicago. So 6th best run defense, and not a good matchup for either of these guys, but I think that they're at least worth a stash if Bilal Powell does end up missing some time.
Agreed. All right, let's talk about these Miami receivers, man. Albert Wilson, Kenny Stills, both left with injuries. What's the update on these guys?
Albert Wilson, he's one of my waiver wire pickups last week, so naturally he has a major injury early in Sunday's game. He got tripped up on one of those patented breakaway runs after the catch. He goes down with a hip injury. It was announced on Monday that we're looking at a labral tear in the hip, so it's very similar to the labrum in the shoulder. He's getting a second opinion, which tells me that the first opinion was not what he wanted to hear, which was probably season-ending surgery. I think at this point, we could be getting news that he is an IR candidate. He's going to be heading to the IR if that second opinion doesn't go the way that he wants it to, which I don't think it will. I mean, it sucks. He goes from a waiver wire gem to droppable in 1 week, and that's just no fun for fantasy. You hate to see that. A guy that looked to be kind of on the cusp of breaking out. His teammate Kenny Stills also went down with a groin strain. Unlikely that he plays this week. They play on the Thursday game, so all around, it's not looking good for Brock Osweiler and that offense. Losing your top 2 wide receivers in 1 week is not what you want to see.
Absolutely, man. All right, last one on the list, Kiki Cootie, hamstring issues popping up here again. What are we looking at here, man?
Yeah, he left the game with the hamstring strain. It has been bothering him the last few weeks. He missed the start of the season with it. These hamstrings, man, the hamstrings are ruining the NFL right now, I swear. It's very unlikely that Cootie plays. Like I said, he is also in that Thursday game with Miami. Unlikely that we see him this week. I expect a lot of Hopkins, a lot of Fuller in that game, which obviously is good news for owners of those guys, but it's a bummer to see QT kind of leave. That offense really needs that third wide receiver to take some of the pressure off those other two. So it's a bummer, but it is what it is. Hamstring strains, like I said, you don't want to see them because they're a pain.
Man, maybe it's you being on the podcast, but it just seems like everybody's got some bad hammies, man. All right, before we move on to those week 8 waiver wire targets, let's talk to the people about swap.com. And we've talked about this. I have kids. I know how expensive brand name clothes are, and I hate going from store to store. Go just check out swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Like I said, stop driving to store for store. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. With swap.com, you can give up to 90% off retail price on your favorite brands like Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, Gap. Quality hand-inspected items are added daily. If something doesn't fit, enjoy easy, hassle-free returns within 30 days. And we have a special offer for our listeners. Get 35% off of items for your first order with promo code LOCKED ON. All right, dude, let's do this. Week 8 waiver wires. Who is the first guy on your list?
First guy here, we talked a little bit about his teammates, but it's Danny Amendola, man. He's the last guy left in that Miami wide receiver core. Only owned in 24% of ESPN and 10% of Yahoo leagues. With Albert Wilson likely going to be out for an extended period of time, like I said, possibly an IR candidate. Kenny Stills going to be out again, with most likely with a groin injury in his own right. Amendola, he's the last guy left. He's it. You know, he's had 18 targets and 14 receptions over the last 2 weeks. To go with 143 total yards and a receiving touchdown. I think that he provides a pretty decent PPR floor until this team can get healthy. I think that he's a fine pickup and a spot start if you have to start, you know, 3-4 wide receivers in the league. I think you can do worse than Amendola.
Yeah, with those injuries, man, he is definitely on that list. All right, guy, I got to talk about a little bit deeper both my guys here, but I'm going to go with Dante Moncrief, only owned in 12% of ESPN leagues. And we know that the Jags wide receivers, I mean, by no means is this a group you want to rely on, but Moncrief looks like the best option of the bunch right now. Has at least 13 PPR points in 3 of his last 4 games, saw 10 targets here in week 7. We don't know who, we know Blake Bortles now is going to get the start for this next game. We'll see how long that lasts. But if for nothing else, I'm picking up Moncrief and stashing him and flipping him for maybe a more reliable fantasy option. Look, when these guys, even if you don't believe on him, believe in him, and you know you're not going to use him, pick up somebody like Dante Moncrief, who has some nice stats in terms of fantasy production if you're playing in a PPR league, and you can flip him when he does have one of these good performances. Who's another one on your list, man?
So my next guy here is probably the slam dunk number one waiver wire pick for the week, and that's Marlon Mack. 55% owned in Yahoo and ESPN leagues, but 30% of that was actually in the last 2 days. So I think he's still probably available in a lot of leagues that go with the waiver wire system. Obviously, he was hampered by a hamstring injury most of the season, but he's absolutely skyrocketed in value the last 2 weeks. We're looking at 215 yards rushing, 2 total touchdowns on the ground, 3 receptions for 37 yards. That was actually more targets than Nyheim Hines had this week, and a receiving touchdown through the air. Mack is just an absolute slam dunk. Go find him. Pay what you got to pay to get him, because he is facing a terrible Oakland Raiders defense this week. He is probably looking at a top 15 running back play on the week, and I think you need to get him on your team ASAP, because that team is throwing a ton and the offense is humming with Andrew Luck kind of getting into groove as the season goes on.
Yeah, like you said, dude, talk about a huge turn of events in terms of his value if you held on to him. Kudos to you, because you are now reaping the benefits. My last guy is Tre'Quan Smith, man, 8% owned in ESPN leagues. And this is one of my favorite guys at targets, probably because I play in a lot of deeper leagues. But with Ted Ginn on IR, there's a great opportunity for another wide receiver to emerge and have a good season. And based on what we've seen, Smith is that guy over Cam Meredith. And to me, the conversation's over. He outsnapped Meredith 52-18 against the Ravens in week 7. We saw what he did in week 5 against the Redskins, 111 yards and 2 touchdowns. He has led all Saints wide receivers in air yards over the past 2 games as well. You want pieces of these high-powered offense, and that is exactly what Tre'Quan is. He is available in most leagues, and just he's a lotto ticket just to pick up, stash, see how it plays out. We know they're going to score a lot of points. Some of those could be going to him. All right, man, that is a wrap. Like I said, you can find me on Twitter at WillieFF247. Hit up Ethan at eTurnerFF_PT, and hit us up on the main page at FFB_247. Be sure to hit that subscribe button on iTunes and stay tuned for tomorrow's show. We'll be back with some more Week 8 fantasy prep. Ethan, we'll catch you next time, man.